The scripture reading that we come to today from Paul's letter to the Corinthians is one that I quite like because I think that it uses a really important image to talk about unity. Paul uses the human body, and he compares this really in two different ways. First is that Paul compares the church to a body, that in Christ and being baptized into the church, we are all part of one body. We are all united under Jesus. And then it doesn't matter who we are, whether one is straight or gay or of any different racial or ethnic background or origin or economic status or nationality, that it doesn't matter. That all of that becomes irrelevant because we are all one in Christ. Which was a really important image at that time because society liked to divide people in very hierarchical ways. Society at that time liked to have rulers and to have those who were ruled. Status was a big, important part of Roman society. But moreover, this same image would have been familiar to people living at this time, but in a much different way. You see, a lot of Roman rulers would use the image of the body as a communal reality, not to communicate exactly what Paul was communicating, but rather to support the social hierarchy of the day. In essence, they would say that every body needs a head, just like every society needs a ruler, and every body needs feet to do the work to keep everything moving forward. So this same image that Paul is evoking would be used by those who have a very different agenda from him. They would say that the head of the body is provided by the wealthy, by the rulers and the elite. But every body needs hands and needs feet to do the hard, dirty work of life. And so Paul is knowing that his people have heard this before from those who are in power as a way of justifying this hierarchical society, and therefore he decides to turn it on its head and use this same familiar imagery in a very different way. Paul says that the unity of the body does not in fact mean that the feet or the hands are the less honored members and thus deserve to be abused or treated poorly. Rather, all parts of the body belong to one another. And therefore, those parts of the body that were considered weak must be treated with special care, must be treated tenderly, must be attended to. The end result of this body metaphor in Paul's language is that we must do away with this old hierarchy that says that the head or the ruler is better than those other constituent parts of the body, but rather to totally make the inverse of this true. That the hands and the feet and those parts of the body that work hard and are the most vulnerable and the most forgotten are integral to the deep unity of the entire body, and all parts of it must be cared for equally. I think that we see this in our society today, that when we need to remember that those people who are essential workers, those people who are working at grocery stores and who are working to make sure that our food supply chain continues, those people who go to work every day, nurses and doctors and all of those who are in contact with a lot of people in order to make our society continue to function. Those people are the critical hands and feet of the body. They are moving us forward. And it's important to remember that all of us, all parts of this very sacred and special body, owe it to one another to take care of each other, to take care of all parts, and to make sure that no one is lost or forgotten. The artist that I felt embodied this message the best is Louise Nevelson. And Louise Nevelson lived from 1899 to 1988, and she was born in Ukraine, but she came to the United States when she was young. She came around the turn of the century to New England, She was raised in a Jewish family that spoke Yiddish at home. Later, she would get married, but ultimately leave that marriage because she had the desire to study and become an artist. And that is exactly what she did at a time when breaking into the New York art world would have been difficult for a woman and for a Jewish woman and for a woman who was an immigrant. But Louise Nevelson's art is unique because she is a sculptor. But what she uses to sculpt are found pieces or objects. And she puts them all together and paints them in monochromatic colors, generally black or white, and creates very interesting shapes and forms from all of these small parts. If you look at some of her pieces, you can make out what some of these parts are. Sometimes they look like they might be the trim off of somebody's china hutch that they discarded, or oftentimes you'll find legs from chairs or pieces off of a couch or any wood objects that are discarded. She finds, puts them together, and creates sometimes very large structures out of them, and they're visually interesting. And usually her titles are also very fascinating and tell some sort of story about what she was thinking about or what she was engaging with when she made a particular piece. But where I encountered Louise Nevelson was in her chapel in New York City. Now, the first week's worship packet, we focused on Henri Matisse, who was invited by a group of Dominican nuns to design a chapel in France. Louise Nevelson is one of a small group of very distinguished artists who have been invited to design worship spaces. Nevelson Chapel is located in Manhattan inside of St. Peter's Church, which is a Lutheran church. The story of how she came to be invited to create this chapel is a rather interesting one. St. Peter's Church had been in Manhattan since the turn of the century. It was a church that was created by German immigrants to the United States. And eventually in the 70s, Citicorp had planned that it would locate its headquarters between 53rd and 54th Streets along Lexington and Park Avenues in New York City. And they decided that the location of where St. Peter's Church was ideal for exactly where they wanted to go. So the bank approached this small little church with $9 million and offered to buy out their property. The congregation was a little unsure about what to do with this, but the pastor at the time decided to see this as an opportunity. He was always interested in art, and he had started inviting jazz musicians to come be a part of worship. They had developed a poetry reading component and ministry to their offerings to the city. And so he approached Louise Nevelson with this idea of possibly designing a chapel, a built worship space that was entirely of her own choosing, where she could be in control of all of the decisions of the built environment and how it would look. Some people viewed that this was demolition money and that this was a horrible thing for this community, but this particular pastor viewed this as a fantastic opportunity to build the sort of church for New York City that would carry them into a new age. And so he approached Nevelson about this idea, and she was very receptive to it. And what she created is rather extraordinary. And right now, the church has grown into being a vibrant congregation. In fact, St. Peter's Church was recently the focus of a CNN article where their pastor was interviewed as having said that he performs around 2 to 3 COVID funerals per week. So this pandemic has hit this particular church particularly hard. However, what I love about Nevelson Chapel is that it was built under such interfaith conditions. If you imagine a Jewish woman who is designing and constructing
a Christian worship space. Someone who felt that designing the space was not a betrayal of her own beliefs or her own background, but rather she used her own Judaism in order to guide her heart and her mind in building a welcoming and inclusive worship space. She used her own authentic self and her own authentic faith in order to create something that continues to provide hope and comfort to people to this day. I hope that you had a chance to look at some of the pictures on the website of the Nevelson Chapel. And also, I included a testimonial, a short 1-minute clip that you might have watched from their pastor, who talks about the first time that he ever encountered this particular chapel when he was a freshman in college. What's really beautiful about it is that she articulates in physical form exactly what Paul is writing about in this particular scripture passage. Nevelson takes found parts, broken pieces, pieces of wood that are broken or discarded or discolored or not wanted anymore, and she finds in them something interesting and unique, and she puts them together into works of art. She transforms them into something much larger than they ever were on their own. She brings all of this brokenness together, and from that brokenness, she builds something new and something beautiful and something very strong. This chapel is now actually the subject of a $5 million campaign for renovation. When the artist was alive, she instructed those who would be responsible for taking care of this piece to just simply take a coat of paint and to cover it back over the pieces of wood every now and then whenever it needed a touch up. However, the latex paint that she suggested has over time caked up and discolored it and chipped and almost created an environment for this work that's very destructive. And this is something that she never knew herself would happen. And so now there's conservators who have to come in and figure out how to take off all the layers of paint of all of these many years to go back down to the base layer of paint that the artist originally applied and to figure out a way to responsibly conserve this work so that it can continue to last into the future. Nevelson Chapel is the only space that Louise Nevelson created in her lifetime where she had the authority to create and to make decisions on the entire space and every aspect of it. I think that there's something really beautiful, not only about the way that her art speaks to our theology, but also the way that as a Jewish woman being invited and agreeing to create a inclusive Christian space, I think is also another beautiful image of the ways in which we work together, we all parts of our human family working together to create and make spaces of respite and beauty in a hectic city. Another one of her pieces that I included in the worship package is Skygate, New York, which she created as a commission for the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey for the mezzanine of the first tower of the World Trade Center. And it was one of the many pieces of art that were completely lost on September 11th. And if you watch the CBS Sunday Morning episode on Nevelson from 1981, you'll have noticed that the reporter started out at the World Trade Center showing her piece that she had installed on the side of the building in the mezzanine. The inspiration for that piece was her viewing the New York skyline when she was landing in an airplane one time. And I find it interesting that the destruction of that piece ultimately was an event that forever changed that beloved skyline that had so inspired her to create that work. But even though Skygate no longer exists, there are many examples of Nevelson's work that do exist. And they remind us that all parts of the body are important, that all parts create a strong and unique whole.
and that it is indeed out of brokenness and out of our own brokenness that our Maker knits us together and knits us into a strong community, a community where everyone has a purpose and everyone is valuable. And I think that's an important thing to keep in mind these days. May it be so. Amen.